Psalm 32. And I want us to read this entire psalm, and I want to talk about traveling. I could give this all kinds of names. Traveling triumphantly through troubled waters, all kinds of names I could put on it, because I think there's a real simple key in Psalm 32 that works when you're going through difficulty. And let me just remind you that David is writing this after he's gone through lots of difficulty and heartache, and the Lord has forgiven him for his sin. And I believe this is after his problem with Bathsheba and Uriah and all the things he went through in that situation. And when he begins this passage, he starts out, "Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin has been covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not," that is, he does not chalk up to his account iniquity. He doesn't record it against him. He doesn't put it against his account. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord has not chalked up to his account iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." So this is the a word of thanksgiving and praise and joy. He says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy," God's pressure upon him. "My moisture is turned to the drought of summer." His whole life was dry. Could have been his lips, his mouth, everything about him was dry. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid." And this was, if you recall, we talked about the characteristics of a man after God's own heart, a man who's willing to acknowledge his sin and deal with it. "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters," that is, overwhelming calamity, "they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." Doesn't mean that he'll never go through it, but in the midst of it. "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." If you notice back up here, he said that something else would compass him about. He says in verse 7, "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And he says in verse 10, "Mercy shall compass me about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Now, David was a man who was very familiar with troubles and tragedies and heartaches in his life. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you and I live obediently before God, that we're going to miss all the trouble. In fact, he says if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we can expect and anticipate persecution. So there's going to be persecution that comes our way because of our righteousness before God and our life before men. But also there are going to be just the plain old mundane troubles that come into everybody's life to some degree, just because we live in a world that's in opposition to God, a system that is opposed to God, and because of the nature of the human body, because of the nature of the system in which we live, we're going to be a part of the troubles and the trials and the heartaches of life. And when a person becomes a Christian, we need to be very careful to instruct them not to expect that everything now is just going to be peaches and cream and rosy. It's going to be better than it could ever be without God. But it does not mean that there'll not be troubles and heartaches of all different types. And you see, sometimes we who are believers want to look around and blame God. "Lord, look how obediently I've lived, and look what you've done to me." No, not necessarily. It may not be what he's done to us, or it may be that the trouble God has allowed in our life, something that we didn't expect, or maybe something that we could foresee coming, it does not mean because it's trouble that it's not necessarily from God. Sometimes the Lord knows that you and I need trouble more than we need blessing. How many of us have our character strengthened? How many of us are being built up in our character when everything is going away and ease, comfort, and pleasure and all the blessings are flowing away? That is the blessings, the things that we label blessing. You see, part of our problem is when something comes from heaven, you know how we label it? We never check to see what God's label is. When we see it, if it's coming from that direction, we say, oh, praise the Lord, a blessing from heaven. If it comes from over here, we say, oh my God, where is that coming from? It may be that it came in that direction over here, and from God's point of view, He put blessing on it. We wrote trouble on it, He put blessing on it. Sometimes we can't distinguish between what's trouble and what's blessing, because some trouble turns out to be the greatest, most wonderful, rewarding blessing God sent us. But see, we are prone to think in a world that's so ungodly that if we live just right, we're not going to have any trouble. Well, we're going to have them. Praise God, we're going to have them. If we didn't, we'd all miss out on some of God's most precious blessings. If you look in the life of David, as we've been looking at in all these months, and you see the most precious things, when you read the scripture, there's some passages that just jump out and just grab you and hold you tight. And if you look at the context of what they're coming out of, he's been in the midst of terrible trouble. Heartaches and burdens and running and fierceness and fear and all these things. And off those pages come God's holy word of comfort and assurance and encouragement. Those words of encouragement were not born on the calm hillside where the sheep were all protected and David was just sitting out there playing on his harp and everything just going to suit him. The most precious verses in the Bible are born out of strife, turmoil, heartache, troubles, trials, tribulations, and tragedies. Now, it's fine in the 20th century for us to say, oh, bless old David's heart. He just went through hell and I'm being blessed. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing for somebody 20 years from now to look back in your life and say, praise God, they went through the trouble and look how blessed I am? You see, we don't mind looking in the scriptures and thanking God for David, but are you willing for God to put you in trouble? To send you through troubled waters if it'll make you a blessing to someone else. Now, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. P.S. If I can decide what kind of trouble God sends. Amen. We'd be willing to say, oh, yeah, I'm willing to do that as long as I can label what the trouble's going to be. But it's not going to be that way. And I believe in this 32nd chapter of the Psalms, there's a simple little process here that when God puts us into some troublesome times, or it is the buffeting of Satan that God allows, or, listen, or we just get into it ourselves. That is, we step off into something we have no business stepping off into and realize when we get there that's not where we belong and we want God to rescue us quickly. Listen, there's some things God's not going to rescue you quickly from. He's going to watch you float right down the stream, right toward the falls. And you're going to be saying, oh, God, don't you see where I'm heading? He said, yeah, I see. Lord, why don't you do something right now? He's just going to watch you just travel right on, and you think absolutely for sure you're going over. Well, I want us to look at this passage. David has been through his forgiveness. God has forgiven him for all of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah and the lying and all the rest of it. And notice what he says in verse 32 now. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Listen, in the Old Testament, watch this. In the Old Testament, it was covered with blood. In the New Testament, it's wiped out. In the New Testament, he's not covering up anything. In the New Testament, it's all taken care of. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That is, he doesn't chalk it up to your account, or in whose spirit there is no guile. So now he's rejoicing over what God's done. Now listen. Then in these next verses, he talks about what difficulty he went through, the pressure, the heartache, the times of dryness. Then he comes on down to verse 7 and says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now let me ask you something. When you find yourself in a period or a season or an experience of deep trouble, it may be in your vocation, it may be in your marriage, it may be with your children, with your parents, it may be a financial situation, Or it may be something inwardly that you're having to deal with that you really don't know how to deal with. Or it may be some relationship to someone that you don't know exactly how to break that off or to get into it or whatever it might be. But there's something that you know that troubles you and you don't know exactly how to go through that. Now listen, oftentimes we multiply the problem. So I think oftentimes when God puts us in a little valley, I mean not so deep, to teach us something, because we respond negatively or wrongly, it's like we just dig the thing deeper. And we get way down here under it all, and God never intended for us to be that deep. He's going to allow us to go through valleys. And sometimes He's going to send us to the bottom. Sometimes it may be light. Sometimes it's a light valley He sends us through, but because of wrong responses, we just get all out of sorts and the whole thing blows apart and we wonder what in the world's happening. And sometimes God never intended for us to suffer like that. It is because we don't know how to respond when trouble comes. Now the way He describes it in the sixth verse, He says, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto thee. That is His way of saying overwhelming calamities, all kinds of difficulties that may come. And sitting right here tonight, there's some of you that if you had to stand up and to describe what you're in the process of going through tonight, it would be so embarrassing you couldn't do it. And somebody else, you're standing here and you're at your wit's end. And you don't know how, you don't even know how to start getting out. And somebody, you look back in your life and you're so hurt and so broken. And somebody else, you're so resentful and so bitter. You know it's not right. You want to get rid of it. You don't know what to do. You've just reacted normally and naturally. And you're just at wit's end. You don't know how to come through this thing. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I know that my wrong response has caused me a separation or has caused me a broken relationships. And I've embarrassed this person or I've been embarrassed and I'm hurt and they are hurt. And all kinds of problems that you're just hashing over in your mind thinking, God, how in the world do I get entangled or get unentangled out of all this spaghetti of a mess that I've made of my life? And you know, sometimes what seems to be one little string can end up to a whole pile that you get under. Now the question is this, not what is the nature of the problem doesn't make any difference. Not how big it is doesn't make any difference. How deep the valley, that's not even the question. The question is, how am I to respond when I find myself either in trouble that I got myself into or in trouble that I seem to have been catapulted into and don't really have the responsibility for getting there? How do I respond? Is there some definite, clear sense of direction from God? Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. If you miss what I say, listen. If you say, oh, now that's too simple. Let me ask you this. Don't you think if God loves you and me, that He's going to make the things you and I need to know, the things that oftentimes we so desperately need to know, if you were a Heavenly Father, wouldn't you make those the simplest of all? What would you do to your children? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So I'm going to show you how to work this thing out. The 25 pages here, single spaced. You'll have to read this with a dictionary in order to get through all this. You wouldn't do that to your son or daughter. Now listen, there's something so simple right here. But if you don't do exactly what I tell you, you're going to miss it. And if you don't do exactly what I tell you, you're going to wonder why all this is happening. If you'll just precisely go step by step, very simply, what I'm going to say, it's so simple. But it's all right here in one little passage. I want you to look at two very familiar verses beginning in verse 8. And this would be a good verse for you to mark, put a circle around it, memorize it, and make it a part of your whole thought process. Listen to what he says. Now watch this. Sometimes David will be going along talking about one thing, and then it just switches like you want to know, who's doing the talking, God or him? It doesn't make any difference because it's all coming from the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those cases that he says in verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now listen. How many of you really believe that God will do what he said in verse 8? Now wait a minute before you raise your hand. Listen now. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. And notice he didn't say, in the following circumstances, under the following situations, if so-and-so is true, except for the following exceptions. He doesn't say that. But he's making a blank promise to his children. God says, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now listen, whatever trouble or whatever circumstance you may be in, or you may not even be in it tonight, but you've been there. And if you're not there tonight, one of these days you're going to be. But then listen, he makes first of all a promise, and I want you to understand what the promise says. Listen, he says, I will instruct thee. That means he will give you the truth about the situation. I will instruct thee. God never delves out untruth. He never delves out half-truths. He always gives truth. He says, I will instruct thee. Where do we go for divine instruction? Where do we go for instruction? In the Word of God. Now listen. He says, I will instruct thee. And of course, the scripture was not written as we have it today when this was written, but we can go back and look how much more advantage we have. He says, I will instruct thee. That is, I will give you the truth. I will give you the information that you need. How many times have you been in a situation you said, God, if I just knew what to do, if I just knew the facts, listen. And so often we go to somebody else asking for the facts. Let me tell you something. Almighty God knows all the facts about your situation and your trouble, whatever it is. Listen, he may not name people, but I guarantee you this, if you go to the Word, God will give you specific instruction and truth about the very thing you're troubled about. And you'll be absolutely amazed and surprised at how precise and accurate his instructions are. But if you call this one and that one and this one and the other one and you read this book and that book and say, oh, I'm trying to figure this out. Listen, there's one book that is divinely inspired. All other books were taken from it. Listen, whatever the circumstance you may be in right now, he says, I will give you the correct information. I will instruct you. I will give you the truth. Now, there have been times when I've been in situations just like you and I thought, now, Lord, I know what my first natural response is, but what is the correct response? What is the truth about the situation? Here's the way I see it. And usually, when I get in the Word and ask God to give me, to instruct me about the truth, usually it's totally different from what I think. You see, first of all, we have the Spirit of God within us, but you and I are surrounded with a world, most of which attitudes are in opposition to God. Jesus said, if somebody hits you on one side, pop him one. That's not what he said. That's not what he said at all. But that may be your first reaction. So you go to the Word, you say, Lord, what's the proper thing? The proper thing is to turn the other cheek. All right, now listen. You may be in a financial problem. You say, well, I'll tell you, I know how to get out of this. But now, do you want your way or do you want God's way? Do you want to get out or you want to make a mess of the whole thing? He says, I will instruct. And listen, if I told you that I could make a mistake, this is the sovereign, omniscient, almighty God of the universe who knows all truth saying, if you will just wait, I will instruct thee. The second thing he says is, and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Now listen, that means, listen, he's going to show you how to apply the truth. It's one thing to know the truth. It's something else to know how to apply it. I will instruct thee. I'm going to give you the facts. Then he says, I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. It is one thing to know some scripture verses. It is something else entirely to know how to apply those verses to my life. And you see, most of us know more scripture than we apply. Amen? You just think about the times you say, oh, how did I forget that? Why didn't I think about that? Or you make a mistake and respond improperly. Then somebody says, I got a verse of scripture God wants me to give you. You said, don't give it. I've already blown that one. Because we don't even apply what we know. Now listen. Whatever the circumstances, God says, hold it. You want me to lead you through this triumphantly, whatever the trouble is? And you may be sitting out here and you're saying, but you don't know how deep in trouble I am. You don't know where my marriage is. You don't know what's happened to my finances. It doesn't make any difference. God knows all about marriage and finances and children and vocations, and He knows all about all of that. He says, I will give you divine truth about your situation. Not only that, He says, if you'll allow me, I will show you how to apply what I'm going to tell you in your certain circumstance. Then the third thing He says, look, not only will He show you how to apply the truth, He says, but I will guide thee with mine eye. Now that's where the big rub comes. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Now listen. Before the Lord, let's just look at that for just a moment. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, what does He mean by that? Exactly what He says. And I think this is probably the best illustration I know. I can remember when my kids were coming along, and just like boys, and I would teach them certain things, and I was trying to teach them, my wife and I, and she did a better job of this than I did, teaching them manners and what to do under certain circumstances and so forth. And, you know, then maybe we'd have company. And so you certainly don't want to embarrass your children in front of somebody. So, you know, your kids are sitting at the end of the table and they're playing with a fork or something like that. And what do? You just give them that look. And you don't have to say anything. They know exactly to lay it down. Don't pick it up unless you're going to eat with it. You don't hit the spoon with it. You just leave it lying there. Or you can be in a committee meeting in your vocation, whatever it might be, and you've decided what you're going to do, and here somebody gets up and says this, that, and the other, and all you have to do is just look at somebody, and they know exactly what to do. And if you're in business, for example, and you're working out a deal with somebody, and you sit down, and maybe it's a big financial situation, you want to be sure that you work this thing out, and everybody does his thing at the right time. All it takes is one glance, and everybody knows exactly what to say and when to say it. You see, we really guide each other with our eye already. Now, here's what He's saying. Listen, it's one thing for you to say, son, sit down at the table over here. It's something else to simply be able to look, and they obey. Now, here's what God is saying to you and me. And you see, it is so simple, but it's got to be done just like He says do it. He says, now I'm going to give you the information you need to bring you right through this circumstance. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you the facts. I'm going to even show you how to apply the truth that you have. But I'm not going to shout at you. I'm not going to write you any more letters from heaven. You've already got enough letters right here. I will guide thee with mine eye. Which means that very, very quietly and precisely, you see, when you guide somebody with your eye and you look and they know what that means, you don't send them a whole bunch of messages. One little look, and that's it. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. You know what He's saying? He says, I'm going to give you all the facts that you need. And it is amazing how I believe you could bring up any problem tonight. And you give me enough time, and I'll get the facts about that problem out of this book. With an exception of mathematics. I'm not interested in that right now. I'm talking about human personal problems. You name any problem you want to, and I believe with enough time, I can give you the facts out of this book. Now listen. He says, I'm going to give you the facts. And I'll even show you how to apply this truth as you work your way through this thing. But those two are hinging on your willingness to focus your attention upon God and follow very precisely exactly what He says do. And you see, He gives us a little warning here. If you'll notice in the next verse, He says, now once you get the facts and once He shows you how to apply it, He says, don't be like a horse. Impulsive, you know, just can't wait to get out of the stall and break loose. Got a little information, let's just run off and do it my way. And sometimes that's what we do. Get a little information, we think, boy, I've got it from God, and here we go. And God doesn't want us running off with it. He wants us to be still with it. Listen. Or he says, don't be like a mule. Stubborn, won't budge. Just stands there. He says, now look. He says, a mule has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come into thee. In other words, he says, don't be this kind of Christian. That is the kind that when God gives you the facts and he shows you how to apply it, then you just want to run off in all directions and do it your way, or you don't want to do it. You just stand still, and you're just not going to do it anyway, but your own way. It may be impulsive, or you just want to be passive about it. That won't work. He says, in fact, don't force God to have to put a bit and bridle in your mouth. Now, here's what he's saying to us. It doesn't make any difference what you're in tonight and how deep you're in and how far down you may be on your way to. He says he'll give you the facts of the truth about your situation. I believe God will show you how you got there. I believe he'll show you exactly where you are. And he'll show you how to get out. And he'll show you how to apply the truth to bring you out. But he won't bring you out unless you're willing to follow precisely his instructions. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Now listen, when you think about an omniscient God, we say he's up there, out there in heaven, looking down on 4 billions of people, you think, how could God guide all of us? Well, he doesn't have to, because most folks aren't listening. So you don't have to worry about 4 billion. You just think about you. He's big enough to take care of you. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. That is, the Lord wants our focus to be so, listen, so consistently on him. When he looks to the right, we know to turn to the right. When he looks to the left, we know to turn to the left. That's his way of saying, I'm going to guide you very gently, very lovingly, but you must follow very precisely and accurately exactly what I tell you to do. Now, I've seen people whom God has worked in their life in deep trouble, and they start out right. God says, turn right, they turn right. God says, turn left, they turn left. God says, turn left again, they turn left. He says, about face, they think about face. And they begin to move out of their trouble. And here's the mistake they make. Now watch this. Things begin to look a little better because they have precisely followed exactly what he says. Things get to looking a little bit better, and so they say, well, things are looking a little bit better. I'll take over, Lord. And the first thing they know, off they have stepped into another problem. Because when God wants to lead you through something, listen, now watch this. When he wants to lead you through something, he doesn't just want to get you out of trouble. He's interested in squeezing every ounce of positive response in your life. That is, he wants to build everything he can build into you while you're there. Now, one thing trouble ought to do is to teach us to obey God. That is precise, exact obedience exactly when God says do it. But in order for me to do that, there are several prerequisites. First of all, listen, I've got to have a real longing in my heart for God to lead me out his way. And you know what, sometimes we Christians, we're willing for somebody else to bail us out of the problem. If it'll get the hurt, if it'll get the pressure off of us, we're willing for somebody else to bail us out, even if it's not God's way. And I want to tell you, when you get out other than God's way, you've just stepped right back in another problem, because God's going to see to it you get right back into it till you learn what he wants you to learn. First of all, I've got to have a longing in my heart for God to bring me through this thing his way. Secondly, I've got to be willing to learn from God. Now, I may have to learn from God through somebody else. And sometime I may have to learn through somebody that I wouldn't expect God to teach me through. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to learn what God wants to teach you? You say, sure I am. Are you willing to learn it in his classroom or your classroom? His classroom may be hurt and pain and trouble. Your classroom is ease, comfort, and pleasure. Are you willing to learn? A longing in my heart for God to bring me through this His way. A desire to learn everything God wants to teach me in the process of coming through the trouble. You see, if I have an eagerness to learn, then I'm going to develop a very keen listening ear to what God says. And the life that I begin to live is going to be a life of what? It's going to be more and more natural for me to obey God. And you see, it just could be that the reason God has left you dangling in the trouble you're in for so long is because He wants you to learn so badly what you will not learn. Now listen. This is why I say to you over and over and over again, the most important thing in life for us to learn is that the Lord wants to form us into His likeness, and one of the processes He uses is to put us through difficulty to teach us to obey Him. Precise, exact obedience. Now listen, when you look at your son or your daughter or someone else, and just your look communicates a message, and they respond properly, does not God have the right? And you see, though you and I don't look at Him in His eyeballs, but when we focus our heart and our spirit upon Him, it's just as precise, just as accurate as if He'd have said, turn right 3 steps. Here's what I want you to understand. Please don't think that God just talks to other people and not you. He wants you to learn the very precise steps that will take you right through what He's saying. So He says, first of all, I will instruct thee. I'll give you the facts. I'll show you how to apply it. Then I will guide you with my eye. That is each step of the way. Now listen. It is very important that you and I approach that yielded to His will. Now look. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So here's just a word of encouragement to us that even through difficulty, he says up here, he says, we're going to be compassed about with deliverance, songs of deliverance. In verse 10, he says, mercy shall compass us about. But the reason he talks about the mule and the horse, he says, look, I'll guide you with my eye, step by step, moment by moment, move by move. But you must be totally yielded to my commands. My movements of my eye. He says, don't be like the mule, don't be like the horse. You've got to be yielded. And listen, whatever trouble and however deep you may be going through, let me ask you a question. Are you as yielded to God's way? You don't have to know what it is. He said, how can I be yielded to God's way when I don't know what it is? You don't have to know. Are you as yielded to Almighty God as you know how to be, saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble. I don't know how to get out of trouble. I need help. Here I am. You do anything you want to do. I am open, Lord God Almighty, to your next move. What is the next step? Or have you said, God, I want you to bring me through this. But Lord, I just know there's one area over here that I can't deal with. And don't ask me to do it because I'm willing to do anything else you want me to do. But God, if you ask me to give up my resentment and bitterness, I'm telling you, God, I can't do it. I want to get out of this trouble, but I can't give it up. It's just in me. And God, if you'd have been hurt like I'd have been hurt, you couldn't give it up either. You see, it doesn't make a difference if it's something that intense or something less. If you're in and God says, you're going to have to surrender that. Listen, as long as you refuse to yield, picture yourself horse or mule. Amen? That's what he says. He says, there's the indication of unyieldingness. And he says, don't be like either one of those. If you want God to bring you through triumphantly, he says, you've got to yield your will. Not like a mule, stubborn, not like a horse, impulsive, wanting to run your way. And one of the primary reasons that we don't come through triumphantly is because we insist, listen, We insist that we happen to have a certain right that is absolutely legitimate, and we believe it's our right, and we're not going to give it up because the other person's absolutely flat dead wrong. And I want to tell you, that just ain't God's way. A fellow came to me one time. The Lord challenged me to do something, and everything in me didn't want to do it. He said to me, he said, "You want God to bring you through this and come out a better man triumphantly and victoriously?" And I sat right back there in the study and I said, "Absolutely, you better believe I do." He said, "Well, let me ask you this." He said, "Are you willing to give that up?" I said, don't ask me that. I didn't even want to consider it. He says, do you want God's best?" I said, "Sure, I want God's best." Man, isn't it amazing how we can reason and just mess around with God and just tell him all these things, and deep down inside we're saying, "I've got this over here. Don't ask me to give it up. I'm flat not going to do it." He kept asking me the same question. He said, "Do you want God's best?" I said, "Don't ask me that anymore." He said, "Do you want to come out on the top end?" I said, "Just don't ask me that anymore." Because every time he'd ask me, it's just like God said, "No, you don't. You don't really want the best. You keep telling me you do. You don't really want my best." He didn't ask me any other question until finally I said, "Yes, I'm willing to give it up." And when I opened the grip of my hand, told God he could have anything he wanted, any way he wanted to do it, and I was willing for him to bring me through it his way. You know what happened? First of all, the pressure just said, whew. Listen to what he says. Look at this. He says, verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Listen, you can't do that holding on to the mule attitude. You can't do it. You see, this is part of the way out. What is it? And that is verbal adoration of God. "Glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." You say, "How in the world can I do all that when I'm under this big pile down here and I'm in trouble just like tumultuous waters?" You talking about shouting and praising God? Right. You know why? What did he say? He said, "I will guide thee with mine eye." How can anybody guide you with their eye? Who have you got to be looking at? You've got to be looking at them square in the eyeball for them to guide you with their eye. I can't be like this thing, "Okay, guide me." That's exactly what we do to God. "Lord, go ahead and guide." We're so busy figuring it out for ourselves, saying, "God, why don't you go ahead and tell me something?" He says, "I will guide thee with mine eye," which is his way of saying to us, you must exactly and precisely focus your attention upon me. Had I done what I wanted to do, I would still be suffering 4 years later. He said to me, "If you're not willing to yield everything, don't expect God to bring you through this." And what that required of me frightened me a little bit at first, and then I knew I had to say, "Okay, Lord, step by step, what is the next step?" And in just a period of probably about 3 months, God just blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. And the only thing I could do is just praise the Lord that he sent somebody to me to say, "You've got to open your grip. You've got to open your hand. You cannot, absolutely cannot hold on to that. And God bring you through this." Now let me ask you something. What have you got a grip on tonight in the midst of your troubles? Is it an attitude? Is it something you won't give up? Listen. Sovereign, almighty, righteous, omniscient, omnipotent God who can change your circumstances, "I'll give you the facts. I'll tell you how to apply them. I'll guide you step by step. Yield everything to me and rejoice in the midst of those problems, and I will bring you through them." It's just that simple. And it's just this difficult. That what he puts his finger on says, give me that. And you see, here is the group of people for whom this is the most difficult. If you're going through difficulties tonight where you feel hurt in your heart towards someone, or you feel like you've been wronged by somebody, or you feel like you've really been given a dirty deal, and you've suffered hurt month after month after month, maybe years, and God's telling you, give up all that hurt. Give up all that bitterness. Give up all that resentment. Just give me that. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God's people nurse and protect resentment and hurt. They don't want to give it up. They've lived with it so long, they just can't afford to give it up. God says, give it up. The most difficult situation is not giving up something. It is giving up attitudes within us that we've held and harbored and protected that have imprisoned us. When I'm willing for God to tear that out of my life, I'm on my way to healing and victory and triumph through my troubles. And I want to ask you, are you willing for God to take that attitude, change it, and bring you through it? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how kind you are to us. How tender, how loving, how thoughtful, how gracious. That you would walk every step with us through every difficulty of life. Allowing us to walk with such close, intimate fellowship that all you have to do is look and we get the message. I want to pray for that somebody tonight who's really in the valley. Way down deep. And everything down there is dark. There's loneliness, there's frustration, there's fear, there's anxiety, hopelessness. Oh God, would you encourage their heart right now? Would you just lift them up in this very moment and help them to see, here is the way out. And that they have a right to start rejoicing and praising you and adoring you this very moment. Because if they're willing to commit themselves to do it your way, they're on their way out. Then, Father, I want to pray for somebody who may be going through difficulty that may not be in a deep, dark valley. But you want to work in their life. You want to smooth out some rough edges. You want to polish them up so they'll shine, reflect you. And maybe the trouble is just a little trouble in their life. The solution is the same. And we still have the privilege of growing and being shaped into your likeness if we'll follow your command. Speak to that somebody. And then, Lord, my heart goes out tonight to somebody here who's not saved. Oh, God, the troubles in their heart. Maybe somebody here who thinks everything's just fine. On the surface, there does not seem to be any trouble at all that they cannot handle. Would you help them to see they have a deeper trouble? That one of these days will be more than they can handle. Or maybe somebody here that's lost knows they're lost. In deep trouble, they've made a big mess of their life. And oh, how they want help so badly. Their heart's just weeping on the inside while they're trying to hold it all in on the outside. Would you speak to their heart and help them to understand the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive their sin, cleanse their heart, and immediately get under the load in the valley with them and walk them right through it step by step. Lord, you intend for us to encourage one another. So I want to ask this evening in Jesus' name, would you so work in each one of our hearts that we would become so sensitive to the needs of others that each of us will become a living, warm, intimate encouragement available for you to use in any way you choose for somebody who's going through troubled waters. And this we ask in Jesus' name.